Mira and Harper Audio present The Act of Disappearing, a novel by Nathan Gower, performed by Cassandra Campbell and Ashley Klanick. For Rochelle, always. The photograph. All cameras capture the dead. The shutter opens, consumes the light, creates the image. An illusion. The ghost of some former self, what was but can never again be. The same person is never photographed twice. That's where we start. With a photograph. The end of one life, the beginning of another. The date printed on the back is July 4th, 1964. See the glossy surface of the front, the train bridge stretched across the Ohio River. Notice the brilliant bursts of fireworks against the fallen dusk, curtains of light threatening to drape the truss of the bridge. Now look down to the bottom right corner. See the tiny figure of a woman suspended in air, captured in the liminal space between life and death, falling to the black waters below. If you squint, you may even see what she holds in her arms, crushed against her chest with the shattering force of a mother's love, a swaddled baby. My name is Julia White. This is not my story. Part 1. The Rabbit Nest. 1. A dead body is a haunting thing. Every time I close my eyes, the onslaught of memory. Blue-white skin and twisted limbs. Bulbous eyes and purple lips. My mom's corpse lying stiff in her Poughkeepsie apartment. An empty pill bottle atop the note on her nightstand. Most days I can forget. But today, on the 3-year anniversary of her death, the swell of grief crushes my ribs, an inflating balloon that refuses to burst. Right now, I need my mom more than ever. I've been on mental health leave from work for the past few weeks, but now I'm back at the Sundowner Bar in Brooklyn. Inside the blue-black darkness is a salve against the hard light of the city. An hour into my shift, I have stirred myself into Negronis and Manhattans, shaken my regrets into gimlets and margaritas. Then some guy sporting an ironic fedora orders a dirty martini, Ryan's drink. I reach for the olive brine, but it's too much. Pinprick sweat gathers at my temples. I rush to the closet-sized bathroom behind the bar before my knees give out. Kneeling on the filthy terracotta floor tiles, I retch out the remnants of a blackberry smoothie, seedy and blood purple. I wipe the seat of the toilet with a paper towel, rinse my mouth, check my mascara. As soon as I get back to the bar, Myra pulls me aside, tucks my hair behind my ear. "Jules, honey, you don't have to be here," she says. Her voice holds the authority of a bar manager and the concern of a roommate. She's both, so it works. "Of course I do. I can barely afford to eat, let alone help Myra pay the rent. Sure, our little Crown Heights studio is Brooklyn cheap, but it's still Brooklyn." "Look at me, babe." Myra tilts my chin, catches my eyes. "It's okay if you're not ready. Give yourself time." The jaundiced glow of the bar cuts across her skin, splitting her into shadow and light. The silhouetted hook of her nose, the curvature of her ear. My brain morphs her face into a mirage of Ryan. I try to edge past her, but she won't budge. "I can't," I start, but I don't know what comes next. Myra pulls me into her, kisses my forehead. "We'll talk about it later. If you insist on staying, then get that guy another old-fashioned."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?